Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficial author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be. And then this president goes on to mention some of that good that God had done for them. He mentioned His kind care and protection. He mentioned the conclusion of a war that they had just fought. He mentioned the tranquility, union, and plenty that they enjoyed as a nation. He mentioned the civil and religious liberties. And then he signs it, given under my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October, in the year of our Lord, 1789, George Washington. Proclamation of President Washington setting aside a day and encouraging the citizens of this country to give thanks to God for all His benefits. And he described God, I hope you listened and heard, he described God as the great and glorious being who is the author of all good that was, that is, and that will be. And to our first president, I say amen. Because the Bible says in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father. David is saying the same thing in Psalm 103. He doesn't assign a day for thanksgiving, so I just read it that we can make every day a day of thanksgiving. He says, bless the Lord, praise the Lord, thank the Lord. And then he says, oh my soul. See, David wanted his thanks to come from his very being. Your soul is that part of you that's really you. Your soul is that part of you that will never, ever die. And so he says, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. What David is saying in this psalm is that our thanks to God ought not to be a half-hearted thing. Our thanks to God ought to not to be something we do because we have to. I mean, we ought not to say, well, Thursday's Thanksgiving, so I got to be thankful to God. That's not the way it ought to be. I mean, when we think about what God has done for us, as David's going to remind us in a minute, he says, just let all that is within you bless the Lord and thank Him. Don't just make it rote words. Don't just make it your duty. But you ought to, when you praise the Lord and thank the Lord, it ought to be something that comes from your soul. You ought to get excited about it. You ought to get worked up about it. We ought to be able to say like some of the prophets did in the Old Testament when they were trying to hold God's word in and not let it out. They said, if I tried to hold it in much longer, I would explode. I would just burst. I just can't hold it in any longer. I've got to thank God. I've got to praise Him. See, I think most of us, even as Christians, are too reserved in our thanks to God. We don't do it from our soul. We don't do it with all that is within us. Why? Because we've ignored David's admonition in this psalm. He says in verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Just like George Washington, I'm sure George Washington was familiar with this psalm because he mentioned God is the one that sends us all his benefits. He is the author of all that is good now and good in the past and good will be. And so when we think about thanking the Lord, when we get ready to thank the Lord, we need to do what David says and we need not to forget his benefits. Because you see, that's what most of us have done. We've forgotten. Or if we haven't forgotten, we've got used. We got used to what God has done. That must be a hillbilly word, Brother Leonard. Didn't sound right. But we got used to what God has done. We've taken it for granted. And David says, let me remind you of some of the things, some of the benefits that God has bestowed on you so that when you get ready to bless the Lord, when you get ready to praise God, when you get ready to thank him, you can do it with all your soul. And you can do it with all that is within you. If you're here today and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, these benefits that I'm going to talk about are yours. You have every single one of them. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, listen, because you can have them. He wants to save you this morning. And when he saves you, he'll do all these things. I'm going to talk about six things real quickly this morning, but you can have those benefits as well. Number one, David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. God has forgiven me all. And by the way, I'm just going to preach to myself this morning, okay? You just listen. If any of it applies to you, just take it and claim it for your own. But God has forgiven me all my iniquities. God will not hold me accountable for any of my sin. I have been pardoned. I have been absolved from paying for that sin. Now, let me hasten to say that sin has to be paid for. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. But when Jesus went to Calvary, my God took all of my sins and placed them on his son. And when Jesus died on Calvary, he paid for every single one of my sins. The debt that I owed to be separated from God forever, Jesus paid when he went to Calvary. And I stand before you this morning a sinner, but a forgiven sinner with all of my iniquities forgiven by God. And here's what gets me excited. Not some of my sins, not the majority of my sins, but every single one of my sins, all of them are under the blood of Jesus Christ, and I have been forgiven by God. My first sin has been forgiven. I can't even remember what it was. The sin that I committed this morning has been forgiven. Say, preacher, what'd you do this morning? None of your business. All my little sins, if there's such a thing as a little sin, has been forgiven. And all my big sins have been forgiven. The ones that I've forgotten about have been forgiven. And the ones that are still fresh on my mind have been forgiven. And again, I stand before you this morning a sinner. I have been a disobedient to God. I deserve the punishment that this book talks about. But praise God, I have been forgiven of every single one of my sins. Now, you want me to be reserved in my thanksgiving? You want me to be reserved in my praise? No, 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 no. I'm going to get excited because I am forgiven of all my sins. And only me and God know how bad they were. Only me and God know how wicked they were. And I thank him this morning because I have been forgiven. Number two, David says, let me remind you of another benefit. He says, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. You know, we're a sickly bunch. Our bodies hurt and ache and get sick and fail to work. And it's not just when you get old like me. I got in junior church, we're learning the books of the New Testament backwards. Revelation, Jude, 3 John, 2 John, 1 John, 2 Peter. I don't have time to say them all. But I challenged the primaries and the juniors. I said, if an old man like me can learn them, you that have fresh young minds shouldn't have any problem. But being sick, not just a malady of the old. I mean, even little children and even teenagers have things that break and have things in their body that don't work. And I want to remind you this morning, as David does, our God is the great physician. Who better to fix us than the one who made us? Huh? Huh? Sometimes he uses doctors, and sometimes he uses operations, and sometimes he uses medicine. But Brother Darrell and I were talking in the hospital one day this week, all healing comes from him. All healing. And there are many people in this room this morning, if I gave you an opportunity, could stand and say, I know the great physician. I have been touched. The doctor said I had very little time left to live, and that's been years ago, and I'm still here. There are other people in our church that I know are still fighting with a disease and still fighting with a sickness. And healing may not come until we get that new body and go to meet him in heaven. But I want to remind you something. If God chooses not to heal us, it's still good. Because he has the power to heal us. But if he chooses not to heal us, he knows that that sickness is better for us than health. And so I'm going to praise him. Whether I'm well or whether I'm sick, whether I'm cured of something that I've had or whether I'm not cured, I know that my God is the great physician, and if he doesn't do it on this earth, he's going to do it when I join him in heaven. He is going to heal all my diseases. He's going to take care of every disease that I have. And so this morning, if you're healthy, praise God. If you're sick, praise God, because he still is the great physician. And all of us need to praise him. All of us need to praise him. I was talking to a lady in our church, and they had to take their son to the hospital this week for something. And she told me, she said, Preacher, I came away from there grateful. Grateful. Because I saw all those little children that had something far worse than my son did. And I praise God for the health that he has given us. And all of us ought to do that. Say, Preacher, you don't know, I'm sick. Well, I'll tell you what, you come with me this afternoon, I'll take you somewhere. We'll find somebody that's a whole lot worse than you are, and then you can look to heaven and you can say, thank you, God, for healing all my diseases. David goes on, he says in verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. I deserve hell. I deserve that place of darkness, the bottomless pit where the worm dieth not, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I deserve that place that was made for Satan and his demons. I deserve that place of eternal separation from my God. But this morning, I want to tell you something. I was redeemed. Somebody bought my way out of that place. That somebody was the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I get to thinking about this for a minute, I can become Pentecostal. I mean, I can jump up and down. I can shout, I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to go to that place where I'm going to be separated from God forever. But Jesus Christ paid my price. He paid my way. And I don't have to go to hell. Now, I don't know if that doesn't excite you. There's something wrong with your Christianity. If that doesn't get you going about being thankful and praising our God. If you're saved this morning, you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to go to that place that's been prepared for Satan and his angels. You don't have to go. You have been redeemed. You have been bought and purchased. Why? Because I was better than anybody else? No, he tells us in the last part of that verse, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. He didn't do it because I deserved it. I say like Paul, I was the chiefest of sinners. I was the worst of the worst. I deserved nothing. What I deserved was to go to that place and spend eternity in that place apart from God. I did not deserve God's favor. I did not deserve God's love. But the Bible says, but God commendeth or proved his love toward me and toward you while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. It says in John 3:16, a verse that many of us learned, the first one we learned from the Bible. For God so loved. So loved. I've read about that word so. When there's something in the Bible that you don't know how to describe because it's so big or so mighty or so great, they put the word so in front of it. For God so loved. How much did he love? So much that you can't describe it with words. And so he puts that little word so in front of it. For God so loved me that he sent his only begotten son, that if I believeth in him, I don't have to go to hell. I don't have to perish. I can have everlasting life. God didn't give me what I deserve. If I got what I deserve, I'd be in hell this morning. That's mercy. That's mercy. He didn't give me what I deserved. He loved me and redeemed me. Hey, I want you to know something this morning. I am loved by God. The omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God loves me. The one that created this world and sustains it loves me. The one that put the sun and the moon and the stars in place loves me. And he loves you. He loves you. I just think about that. Sometimes in the summer, I look down at a little ant, and I compare myself with that ant because I'm sure in God's sight, that's how I look. Just a little ant. And yet, God loves me. I don't know about you, but when I get ready to thank God, if I remember that, I'm going to do it with all that is within me. Oh, my soul. Praise God. Thank God. Doesn't stop there. Number 5, verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. That means God takes care of me. That means when I get hungry, God feeds me. Not just the essentials, but the good stuff. It's not just sardines, a steak. It's not just manna. It's the milk and honey that flowed in the promised land. You know, I've been sort of on a diet trying to lose some weight. And I've been eating a lot of oatmeal. I've been eating a lot of salad. I've been eating a lot of fruit. I've been eating a lot of raw vegetables. And they're all pretty good. But every once in a while, I get hungry for something good. And so yesterday, I got hungry for something good. And so I went and got me some fried chicken. Amen, it's good preaching, isn't it? Mashed potatoes and gravy, green beans and corn, and a half a cherry pie. So, I was on my way home from the restaurant, and that little chorus that the kids sang not too long ago started going through my mind. Praise him, praise him, praise him in the morning, praise him at the noontime. Praise him, praise him, praise him when the sun goes down. I was thinking about what I was going to preach about, and all these benefits started going through my mind. And so I was on Hill Road, and it was warm, so I rolled my window bit down a little bit. And you know how sometimes when you're alone, Brother Jim, you just let it loose, and I start singing that second verse. Thank him, thank him, thank him in the morning, thank him at the noontime. Thank him, thank him, thank him when the sun goes down. And I got a little bit more excited. I said, man, this is good. Isn't God good? I mean, my tummy was full, and I mean, I sang that third verse, and I got a little bit louder. Love him, love him, love him in the morning, love him at the noontime. Love him, love him, love him when the sun goes down. And I looked over, and I was at a red light. There's a couple in the car next to me, and the guy went like this. I knew it wasn't my singing. It had to be he loved God as much as I did. He satisfieth thy mouth with good things. They all come from God. And then number six, David says, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I studied that. It doesn't mean he makes us younger. It means he renews our strength. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. David says, bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. In order to do that right, you can't forget his benefits. You got to remember what he's done and is doing for you. He's forgiven your sin. He's healed you, or is in the process of healing you. He redeemed you from destruction. He crowned you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He provides for you and gives you strength. I'll be honest with you. I could take just one of those things, and I could work myself up just by thinking about it to praise God from my soul with everything that's within me. But you put them all six together, you think about all six of them, you just put all those things in your mind, and I think if we did that, we'd be like the prophets, and we'd have to say, God, if I tried to hold it in, I couldn't. It would just, I would explode, I would burst, however you want to say it, and my praise would have to come out. And again, every single person here this morning that knows Jesus as their Savior enjoys those benefits, every single one of them. Now, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you don't have any of them. None of them. He still holds you accountable for your sin. You're still under the judgment of God and are headed for hell. I mean, none of them. None of them. But I want to tell you something this morning. He loves you. He loves you. And he wants to save you. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, would you do it this morning? What's keeping you back? What's standing in the way between you and getting right with your God? I can't think of a better day to do it than the Sunday before Thanksgiving in the year 2009. Not a better day to do it. Not a better time. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Now, today's the day. And if you're here and you don't know Jesus, then you come and we'll take the Bible. We'll show you from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. If you're a Christian and you just feel like you need to do something this morning because you've been reminded of all the benefits that God has given us, and just maybe come to the altar. Say, Lord, it's been a while since I've been here. I just want to thank you. I just want to praise you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for being God. And I say, like our first president, you are the author of everything that has been good, of everything that's good today, and of everything that will be good in the future. Your word says that you are good and you doeth good. And you've proven that to us over and over and over. And so I pray, Father, if there's somebody here that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, today would be the day. Right now, this would be the moment. They would see their sin. They would see the penalty for that sin. And they would come and ask Jesus to save them. I pray that would be true of every person here that doesn't know Christ. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. I pray that, again, we would not be so reserved in our thanks, but we would bless you and thank you from our soul with all that is within us. because we remember all the good things that you've done for us. Bless this time of invitation. Help those that need to come. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.